JP Barry joins us on the line. Good morning, JP.
Good morning.
What's I'm curious. What is a week like this like for a guy like you when you've got, you know, some of your prospective clients, some of your guys that are, their names are being bandied about? I mean, are you dealing, are you playing psychologist with some of your players, going, where am I going? What's happening? Or you just kind of sit back and wait here? What's it like for you?
It's a combination. I mean, we're part of the chain of information. Just like I have to say that. The media is now, right? The media seems to play a bigger and bigger role in the trade deadline as far as, you know, the chain of information that goes around about what potential players might be available. But yeah, we're both psychologists and trying to do our best to find out where our clients might end up.
JP, I think it's, you know, it's turned into such a big event from a network perspective, trade deadline day. You know, from a fan perspective, I think there's a lot of people texting and wondering, well, what goes on? If you have someone who is going to be an unrestricted free agent, you know, as we wait and see what's going to happen in Ottawa, are those teams allowed to talk to you and go, hey, if we make this deal, will he sign something for 5 or 6 years beforehand? Is that all in play, or is it just GM to GM?
Technically, it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, there is some rules around it, but information, you know, around this time, information flows, and I think both, you know, the agents and the media and the GMs, they kind of figure out within a few weeks of trade deadline who's in play. Oftentimes it comes down to whether some of the players might have you know, no trade clauses. There might be teams eliminated, so everyone's trying to find out all the information on the player, you know, his interests, whether or not, you know, could he be a long-term instead of a rental? So a lot of that stuff has to flow with, you know, the agents and the GMs together.
JP Barry with us, NHL agent here on Sportsnet 650. So when in a situation like that where a guy's got a no-trade clause, when does that conversation arise? Is that, I mean, when you hear it, I'm sure you hear those conversations of it being bandied about. Is that something, do you make that call or have that conversation with the GM? Do you talk to your guy first and say, do you even want to broach this, or do you just wait for the team to call you in those sorts of situations? Because look, a no trade clause is a no trade clause, but you know, obviously there are conversations where people say, hey, would you be willing to, you know, let this slide here? Like, how does that work?
Well, generally we have dates that we're required to submit our lists, and sometimes it's up to the team to call us and say, hey, we need your list in 24 hours. So most of the clauses I have, the team, you know, will call us and say, okay, you got, you know, per your clause, you have 24 hours to send us a list, and we do. Now, sometimes those lists are already in place for a long time. Like a few of my players might have lists that have been in place for 1 or 2 years when they were initially requested. So, you know, things change in 1 or 2 years. So when the conversation comes about now, you might want to have another discussion. So yes, the GMs will call and say, are you sure you want that team on the list that you sent a year ago? So there's ongoing discussions about those lists.
In most cases, JP, you know, we don't want to tell secrets, but in most cases,
yeah,
we'd love all the secrets. Yeah. But would those conversations have been taking place already with the trade deadline on Monday?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think, well, especially with the teams that are interested in training a guy, I mean, you're going to be talking to them because oftentimes, you know, they're trying to see whether they can re-sign players, and if they can't, well, then they become tradable. So, you know, most of the players, we have discussions on contracts. Others, they just decide, okay, well, we're going to probably let this guy go free. So there's discussions about where they might end up.
How often do you, like, how much are you working the phones?
Like,
do you just sit there and wait for the GM, like constantly the one GM of the team, like call you, or are you out making your own, like, are you out looking for, as well?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously if a player knows he's probably on the trade deadline, he has likely to be traded, he's going to have some interest in where he's going to go. So we're trying to do our best to, you know, see if we can get a player to a desirable destination, but really it's down to the GMs making a trade that ultimately decides that.
So what's the difference between having a conversation, I guess, as the representative, and then what somebody would constitute, well, that's tampering, you're talking to another team? Like, where's that fine line, or do you have to get the blessing first, or do you just kind of operate as, you know, hey, look, I'm just advocating for my client here?
Yeah, I mean, this tampering thing has been a thing going on for 20 years. I, I actually don't feel that agents can tamper. I think tampering is between the GMs, myself, and that's the lawyer in me. When I read the language, I think it's between the GMs, but we're not really tampering. We're just providing information. I mean, we don't make these trades. The trades ultimately come down to the GMs.
You know, and I don't mean to take you off on another area, JP, but it's funny you mentioned tampering. Last week, it was free agency for the CFL. Ed Hervey is the BC Lions GM, and we kind of heard, you know, essentially they were going to make a big announcement, and he had said, listen, you've got to allow GMs and everyone to talk and agents, and maybe things shouldn't be that restrictive. Are there some things that, in your view, should be tweaked a little bit when it comes to the definition of tampering to make everybody's job a little easier?
I think it's changed over the years. I think with the flow of information, you don't really even talk about tampering as much in the past. But at the same time, I think tampering is really, you know, from team to team. The whole concept of tampering is between teams, not, you know, the media, not agents, not everyone else, because ultimately it's those teams that are, you know, they're trying to control their own rules. So, I, right now, when the trade deadline, it's almost like that. This is a period when that's relaxed. Everyone's trying to find as much information as they can.
JP Barry with us here on Sportsnet 650. Matt Duchene is within the CAA agent family, if you will. I mean, Pat Brisson, your partner in crime, is kind of overseeing that whole situation. But how much of a conversation do you have with, you know, with your teammates, I guess, respectively, when you're going through a situation like that? With what, look, all eyes are on Matt right now. This is a huge chip in play with, based on all the speculation and the rumors and innuendo. Like, how much of a conversation do you guys compare notes much in these situations?
Well, we do everything together at CAA. So, like, we have our group of players that are going to be traded, and we have we discuss everything together in our group, Pat and myself and Jim Nice, who sort of, you know, works in our office and does a lot of the contract work. So yeah, it's fluid, it's ongoing, and we're talking every day, because every player in our group can impact another player. Like, you know, if one player goes somewhere, then that might close off another move. So we're constantly discussing where our clients might be going.
Matt talked yesterday after practice that he goes, as far as he knows, he's still playing hockey for Ottawa, and they wouldn't hold him back and wait for a deal to be made. Do you think that will be the case, or, you know, what would be the smart play there to keep him out for the next couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to the GM and his tolerance for risk. But, you know, I based on history and what I've seen in the past, a high-end asset like Matt, who's right at the, you know, one of the most valuable players that, you know, possibly available, I think usually teams decide not to play them unless they're right in the middle of a playoff race and they need the points. So I'd probably be surprised that they would dress them until they figure the situation out.
JP, you also have tabs on a couple of young players that the Canucks are obviously very excited about for the long-term future. You've got Jet Wu, and you've got Quinn Hughes, or you're an advisor for Quinn Hughes.
Advisor,
exactly. Advisor, yes, exactly. We'll clarify that. When did the conversation, like, when did, like, there was obviously reports out there that, you know, Quinn was thinking about maybe turning pro after the World Juniors, but how do you approach that with Quinn with his season? I think, you know, his season could end conceivably in about a week and a half from now. Like, when does that conversation start for Quinn as your as his advisor?
You know, I mean, there's always ongoing conversations about when's the best time for a young player, and you're monitoring how they're playing and whether they're ready. But, you know, you want them to do as much as they can in their careers and in their college games. So we tend to leave them alone. We know we've got time to sit down and talk about it near the end. So I think it's best to leave it alone and just wait and have that conversation at the right time. But, you know, we're always tracking whether our players are ready, and he's definitely having another good season. And I think the intentions were, even as far as last summer, was, you know, maybe one more year of school. So we'll talk about that when Michigan's eliminated.
Oh, so if we had a poll question today, JP, and said, do you think Quinn Hughes will be here 48 hours after Michigan falls out, you would say yes or no? You wouldn't participate in the poll question because you're an advisor. How about the year Jet Wu is having? There's a young man who I think really has surprised. You must be thrilled with what he's done.
Yeah, he's got so much character. He really wants to be a pro, and he's developing really well. So I think he's going to be, you know, I think he's going to be a fan favorite in Vancouver. I think they're going to love his character and his desire, and he really wants to be a pro. And I mean, it's exciting to see him take the next steps.
When's that conversation happen? Like, is there talk about that now?
We can talk about Jet ongoing, and we can discuss him. I think the team will look to sign him here at the end of the year. That there's no signing until March again. Like, so there's windows in the CBA for young players to get signed. So, I think he's earned a contract. I think that'll probably happen soon, and then really it's going to be up to him to come into training camp and show how close he is again.
As we finish this conversation, I'm going to just ask for an opinion, because as we look up and watch all the TVs, and you have to advise an NCAA player, I'm looking at Zion Williamson and blowing out his shoe, and now he's got a sprained knee. Where does a guy like you sit on college athletes being paid?
It's a topic I've been involved with for a long time. I've been an agent for close to 20 years, and before that I worked with the Players Association as one of the counsels. And, I think the NCAA needs to make changes. I think there's a lot of things about the NCAA that's unfair to players, and especially when you look at the amount of money in particular in football and basketball, and many of these players never go on to have pro careers. So I definitely think with the amount of money involved now, things have to be looked at.
Would you take that same approach to the CHL and what they always seem to have going on?
I think we have to look at the overall what's going on with the CHL, how can they make the player packages as fair as they can. I think it's, certain teams can and certain teams can't. I think the leagues have to get together, and they have their stronger teams and their weaker teams, but they have to find a way to make the packages the most fair.
JP, thanks for this. I know it's a busy time for you, and I know you probably got a whole bunch of messages since we started talking as well with some of your clients, as we are now 4 days away from the NHL trade deadline. So thanks for finding time with us this morning.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right,
thanks,
that is JP Berry, NHL super agent, shedding some light on the business side of the National Hockey League and what lies ahead.
Sportsnet 650.